Well, we have been journeying through Scripture and on the road to Jesus and meeting some of the characters along the way. And so this morning, we want you to hear a bit of Elizabeth's story.
Hine ma tovu manaim shevelahim gam yachad hine ma tovu manaim shevelahim gam yachad hine ma tovu manaim na 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 na. Oh, my precious John. Any day now our cousin Mary in Nazareth will be giving birth. Oh, our God is indeed a God of wonders. Zachariah, your father and I, we've strived all our lives to follow and obey his commandments and to carefully follow each law. And now, after more than 50 years of marriage, our prayers for a child have been granted. When you, my sweet, precious, perfect John, were born, oh, you've made this old mother a young heart. Jehovah Jireh, my provider, your grace is sufficient for me, for me, for me. Jehovah Jireh, my provider, your grace is sufficient for me. Almost a year ago now, your father traveled to that great and holy temple in Jerusalem. And then he was chosen after all these years to go alone into the sanctuary and to burn incense. Such an honor. He's waited all his life. And as he lit the incense, I think he was nervous. But can you imagine? The angel Gabriel came to him and called out his name, Zachariah, do not be afraid. Oh, how his old knees must have shaken. That angel told your father that we would have you a son and that we were to name you John. The angel told your father that you would be a gift from God and you would be filled with the Holy Spirit and that you, my son, would prepare for the coming of the Lord. Isn't that wondrous? And your father, the great debater, yeah, he debates with me, but he loves to debate the things of God, especially the Scriptures. He loves to declare and debate what is holy and true and devout. And you know, he questioned the angel Gabriel. Can you imagine? And rightfully so, the angel struck him dumb. Such a peaceful 9 months. Throughout my pregnancy, it was quiet and calm here at home. Filled with the Holy Spirit, what does that mean? What do you remember already? In my 6th month while I carried you, my cousin Mary came to our home. I felt you leap with joy inside my womb when you heard her voice. Ah, Mary is young but wise beyond her years, and she is blessed of all women, for she carries our Lord, the Son of God, in her womb, the Son for whom you will prepare the way. What wonders will you behold? Hine ma tovu manaim shevirahim gam yachad. Mary stayed in our home almost until you were born. Yeah, the people in Nazareth, their tongues and their small hearts would wag. They did not have the faith to understand. They would have caused trouble for Mary and her beloved betrothed Joseph, such a holy man, so faithful. And it was for the best. And what a joy for me to share the things of God with another woman while we both waited for the deliverance of our children. What a joy. And how sad I was to see her go. But then, dear John, how we celebrated your birth. Oh, we followed what the angel Gabriel's words were at your naming. I'm not one to debate. And upon naming you John, God returned your father's voice. Another blessing? But you know, he too was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he prophesied that you, John, you will prepare the way for the Lord. You will present the offer of salvation to God's people for forgiveness of their sins, and that the light of heaven will shine down and soon break upon us, shining in the darkest places and showing us the way of peace. And now, my little one, dream. Dream deeply. For you and your Lord have great things for God's people. You will answer not only my prayers with your birth, but the prayers of our people. You will fulfill the dreams, you and our Lord. Sleep and dream deeply as you prepare to prepare the way. Hine matovu manaim shevelahim kam yachan.
Our scripture passage today is from Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. One of the most familiar Bible stories. You might not even be a Christian today. You've probably heard this story before. You might have never read the Bible for yourself yet, but you've probably heard this story. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at the words and wondered what kind of a greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great, and we will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel. "Since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, for she who is said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. I wonder what the dinner conversations after this date went like. Can you imagine that? They're sitting around a dinner table, or exactly whatever they had at that point in time. "Mary, dear, you're barely touching your food. Are you feeling okay?" Well, Daddy, I'm feeling a little ill. I don't know if I've got a cold or something. And is everything okay?" "Yeah, I think so." "Is everything all right at school? In eighth grade, everything good?" "Yeah, Daddy, everything's good." "Well, not everything. You remember a couple weeks ago I told you why I was delayed on my way home after school?" "Well, yes, yes. See, I was coming home from school and there was this great, it was big and his name was Gabriel. And you see, he told me,
He told you what?
Yeah, he told me, and I said I'd do that. And
what did he do?
Nothing, Daddy. Nothing, Daddy. Nothing.
Have you seen him anywhere before?
No, Daddy. He was an angel.
Oh yeah, an angel. I heard about angels.
You can imagine the conversation. We have a 9-year-old daughter. We're only a few years away from the age that Mary would have been. I wouldn't have handled it very well. Would you? Honestly. I mean, we have a fantastic relationship with our daughter. I think she is. I would have a hard time believing her. I'd like to think I was more trusting. This is one of the best known Bible stories ever. Partially, we like reading it because it uses a naughty word that we don't normally talk about. Well, not really a naughty word, but, you know, it's very intriguing plot line. And it involves somebody that, you know what I'm talking about. Snicker, you know him. It involves somebody that, next to Jesus, is one of the best-known people in history ever. And now different traditions handle Mary differently. And oftentimes in kind of the Protestant church, you know, where we all are, we don't talk about Mary that much. Because, you know, we see in some other traditions, we see some kind of excesses, like the unofficial ones, like I don't know if you've seen this on eBay, the right there. Yeah, so where the Virgin Mary has shown up on a piece of toast. And so you go, that's weird. I don't quite know what to do with that. Or the some of the more official traditions where in like in the Roman Catholic Church where there's some teachings about Mary that don't necessarily show up in the Bible, and they're just a little hard for us to deal with. Perpetual virginity, the assumption of Mary, Immaculate Conception, and like, you know, how do we reconcile that with, you know, how Jesus had brothers and sisters, and if that was a miracle, Joseph probably didn't think it was a miracle for a whole lifetime of brothers and sisters, and we don't know what to do with all of this information. But what I hope we could do just for today. Kind of bracket the excesses out and just look at what the Bible says. This is an amazing girl. She has so much to teach us. 14, 15 years old. And an angel comes to her and asks her to do something that in one sense is amazingly good. I mean, you're going to be a child, give birth to a son. He will be great. He'll be the Son of the Most High. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. And at the same time, God asks Mary to do something that is unbelievably risky. Even in our permissive society, it's hard enough for an unmarried pregnant teenager. Those days, Mary, by agreeing to do this, she was, I mean, it was facing very significant social ostracism. The law applied to its harshest degree. She could be stoned in the streets. There would be people, I mean, the virginity of a daughter was a significant matter of honor for a family. So much so that even in some marriage traditions, there were ways of proving it as part of the ceremony. Bizarre, I'm not going to go into detail. This was a big deal. A big deal. And God asked Mary to trust her with something that was impossible, and so very, very scary. So Mary asks a very obvious, an honest question. It's very different from Zachariah's question the week before. You know, Mary is not looking to test it. You're not wondering whether Gabriel is for real or this is really going to happen. She has an honest question about, you know, so how, what is the process with this? Because God's not going to ask me to do something that I know is sinful. I mean, God doesn't tell us to do something that he clearly tells us not to do. So she has a very honest question. And the angel answers it. And then Mary, and you just wonder how much deliberation happened after that point. And then, but Mary gives this incredible response. She says, "I am the Lord's servant. I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said." I want to talk about that one little idea. I am the Lord's servant. No, the slide that says I am the Lord's servant. Oh, okay. See, sometimes we think of servant, you know, if we're really honest, the way that we treat God is, we would never say this out loud, but we kind of expect God to be our servant. Functionally, that's the way we live. You know, when our prayers are mostly filled with things that we're asking God to do for us, Lord, you know, and these are all good things. They're all out of very real need. That's all, you know, God, please heal my friend. Please help me out financially. Please, you know, bless my kids. Please bless my marriage. We're asking for all these things. Me, God, will you give this to me? Will you give this to me? Mary says, "I am the Lord's servant." If following God cost you the health of your business, would you be able to say, "I am the Lord's servant"? If following God's call meant that your health would be significantly compromised, Mary would say, "I am the Lord's servant." If doing what God told you to do meant that your reputation would be shattered, Mary would say, "I am the Lord's servant." Very often, you know, we kind of go through life, and when things are going well, we kind of keep God on the back burner. You know, you bring him in when he's convenient. You come to church when you have time for it. You go to small group when everything suits you just fine. You know, we read the Bible when we're kind of feeling like we're in need. Mary says, "I am the Lord's servant." If you're a servant, you trust what the master tells you to do. So even, and you do it sometimes even if you don't agree with it. I mean, some of you are business, you know, like employers, and you've probably had an employee every now and again where they're kind of late and lazy every single day, except for on payday, they're right on time and they're eager, just right there for you. And sometimes, you know, we treat God like that. All the things, when we have something we want from God, we're right there because, "God, you're God, and I'm asking for you to do this for me right now." Mary said, and you know, when we're in times of need, that's exactly what we should be doing. We should be asking God for help. We really, really should. But the real question of faith is what happens in those good times? Mary said, "I am the Lord's servant. I am the Lord's servant." That is a dangerous, dangerous prayer. Friends, do not say that lightly. Roll it around in your head before you say it. God called you to do something. Maybe it's you go on the next Nicaragua trip with Foundations. I don't know where I'm going to get the money. And I don't know what I'm going to tell my boss or if I'm going to get time off work, but I am the Lord's servant. I know that I should be sharing my faith with my colleagues at work. I know I should reach out to the neighbors in my neighborhood. But, you know, I just never really have the time, and some of them are really rotten, and it's just easier if I just kind of keep my head down. I am the Lord's servant. There's times I really feel inspired to give, and I just, you know, I get to respond to the need, and I feel so good about me and what I've done for somebody else. But the real question of your generosity is, what do you do in those times when it's hard to give? When you don't, whether it's because money is tight or because you don't feel inspired. And Mary says, I am the Lord's servant. Is that a prayer you could say today? I am the Lord's servant. Don't say it too fast. Don't say it too lightly. Don't say it without thinking through some of what that actually means, how much you are actually risking. I am the Lord's servant. Does God get to actually call the shots in my life? Does he actually get to tell me his plan and expect me to do something with his plan and not my plan for him? I am the Lord's servant. I am the Lord's servant. Please pray with me. Lord, that is a risky, risky prayer. We marvel at the faith of a young girl who would dare to say yes to you. Of a woman that wouldn't even know until 30 years later how this story would turn out for this miracle son of hers. Lord, teach us to have a faith like Mary's, to be able to say to you, in the good situations and in the bad, I am the Lord's servant. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.